The next matter on the court's docket is Maldonado versus FedEx. Ms. Walsh?
Good morning, Your Honor.
Good morning.
May it please the Court, my name is Kathleen Walsh, and I have the pleasure to represent Mr. Maldonado, a claimant before the Workers' Comp Commission. Mr. Maldonado was unrepresented. He sustained a work injury in January of 2009. He filed what we call a claim form, the claim form with the Workers' Comp Commission. The claim form is very important because under Part A, which is the part he filled out, the instructions to the claimant are, I hereby file this claim to protect my rights under the Virginia Workers' Compensation Act for the injury or disease described above. I am not requesting the commission take any specific action at this time. There's also a Part B that could be completed, but the instructions with regard to Part B are complete Part B only if you are requesting a hearing, and the only is in bold in the commission's forms. And the question before you today was whether or not the completion of Part A tolls the statute of limitations for a permanent partial impairment claim. Ultimately, Mr. Maldonado had a 45% loss of use of his...
Is there another aspect of this case that has to be considered that is determinative in the commission, which has to do with the kind of benefits he was accorded under that first application under Part A, as you call it? Isn't that an important issue for the commission under the statute of limitations that applies?
Well, I think you're exactly right. I mean, the question is, what does Part A protect? What benefits do they protect?
And well, that's a good question, but it does get us, I think, to the heart of the matter, because as I understand the record, if he had been awarded anything beyond medical benefits, when he came in for a change of condition, right?
That's right.
The commission
exactly.
Looked at it and said, well, in order to benefit under the statute for a 3-year statute of limitations, you would have had to have had a compensation for the condition you're proceeding on awarded in the 3-year period prior.
That's right. So,
okay,
so
the question is, then comes out, he didn't get those kinds of benefits. He got only medical benefits.
That's right. A medical award only was entered in this case.
So tell me about why Part A should be read as, when the award is clearly not for the compensation he was asking for in the case that is before us that you're saying was wrongly decided. How does Part A meet that requirement of the commission?
Well, I think the key, I think, is the instructions that this is a commission-created form. So it's the instructions that the commission is giving the claimant. And the instructions are, I'm filing this to protect my rights under the Virginia Workers' Compensation Act. Part of his rights under the Virginia Workers' Compensation Act are permanent impairment.
But that's not what he's claiming initially. Would that be fair to say? It's medical benefits. It seems like it turns on what the commission is actually aware of in terms of the claim. And if the commission is not aware of a claim of permanency, I mean, what is your response to that? It seems like that there would be difficulty with the commission understanding what it is if it's not clear in terms of notice.
Well, you're right. So the commission found the statute of limitations wasn't told by the filing of Part A. So that's the ruling. There's other considerations that they could have decided the case, for instance, that there was no evidence of permanency within 3 years. They never got to any of those considerations because they found the statute of limitations defense prohibited the claim at all. So the question of whether or not, so the commission did say, well, we're not aware that he was filing the claim for permanent impairment benefits by the completion of Part A. But the commission doesn't, it tells them only to complete Part B if they want a hearing.
Didn't he compound his problem in the subsequent applications that he made, and I think there were 2 more at least?
Yes.
When he lays out some symptoms that could be considered related to a permanent condition, but then he says, but I'm not asking for a hearing. I'll ask for a hearing when I'm ready.
Right.
I'm paraphrasing exactly.
He writes a lot of letters to the commissions.
But it seems to the commission, I'm not asking for any action on any of this.
Yes, he did. He wrote subsequent letters to the commission, filed additional claim forms.
I think the commission can rely on that as saying, oh, he doesn't want us to do anything. We're not going to.
But there's
another issue. I think the fact that the instructions say by filing Part A, I, as the employee, am protecting the rights under statute, does not, by analogy to other cases, you have to invoke rights before you get before an adjudicatory body. I mean, I can't just say, you know, I never asked the court to make this remedy for failure to hire me on some unconstitutional ground, unless I say those are my rights, I'm invoking them now for protection.
Yeah,
you can't come in and just articulate a generalized statement, I have these rights.
And I understand your point, especially in a civil court context. But this is the Workers' Comp Commission. They're not bound by these technical rules of pleadings. And so they create these simple forms for people to fill out, and they give instructions in these simple forms. And this is what this gentleman did. I mean, the court has addressed the issue in the Matthews case where the claimant, again, just filed Part A, and he never made a claim for medical benefits, which is one of the things you can check in Part B. And so he received medical benefits for 2 years, and then after the 2 years, he needed surgery, and the employer came back and said no. He never filed anything under Part B, so he cannot get medical benefits, because that's one of the boxes you have to check if you want that. And this court said no, that the filing of Part A was considered a claim, and they affirmed the commission's award of medical benefits in that case.
Well, that's because the medical benefits carried through the whole. The whole series of injuries that he was filing for. It wasn't a new symptom or a new remedy being sought as it is in this case. That's the Matthews case.
That's you can look at that being the whole thing. But again, in Matthews, he never checked the box. I want lifetime medical benefits. The same thing with Mr. Maldonado. He never checked the box. I want permanent impairment. In Matthews,
Are you talking about Meadows?
Yeah, yeah. I apologize.
I think getting to Judge Annunziata's question about Meadows, though, isn't the distinguishing factor is that it was an original claim, which is what we don't have here. It was an original claim, which is what we don't have here. Essentially, the court indicated that it was making a factual, or it was deferring to the factual findings of the commission. One of the factual findings of the commission was when notice was given, whether they were on notice of the claim. So it seems to me that there might be a difference in the posture and the fact that that was an original claim. And what is your position on that?
Well, okay, so the part is by filing Part A, there was never an award for medical benefits in that case. You're correct. But again, nothing was ever requested within 2 years.
Right, but the commission made a factual finding that it received notice of the permanency of the claim. And so the court was essentially saying there's a deference given to the factual finding that they were given notice. And it was also an original claim. My question here is, it seems like you might be in a slightly different posture.
Because the medical benefit award was entered in my case.
Because of the medical benefit award, it wasn't an original claim.
Right.
And also, you're the appellant. So clearly we have to look at the evidence differently in this case as they did in Meadows.
Yes. I understand your point that this is coming in a change of condition. I still think, though, that Part A, given the instructions given to the claimant, preserves his rights. And this is an issue percolating. I mean, in the full commission opinion, which is written by Deputy Commissioner Marshall, he indicated it's difficult to reconcile our holding here with Cochran Industry versus Meadows. And also, there's been a dissent that Commissioner Marshall has written whether or not Part A tolls the statute of limitations. And I'm just going to read it to you. And I understand this is a dissent, but this is an issue that is percolating before the commission. And he notes in his dissent that he would consider the filing of Part A of the claim form sufficient to preserve the right to claim permanent partial benefits. He noted the commission created the claim form, and that as such, it would be manifestly unjust for the commission to advise a claimant on our form she's filing a claim to protect her rights under the Virginia Workers' Compensation Act, and then to determine that protection didn't exist. So,
what about the bold-faced notice to him on the award, dictating within what period of time he must file a claim for wage loss benefits?
And that was brought up by the appellee in his brief repeatedly, but all it refers to is lost wages. So if you don't have any lost wages within 2 years, then you even if you hadn't checked. If you have no lost wages within 2 years, you can never get an award for lost wages beyond that period. And that's what the commission writes to people and tells them. You've got to file a claim for lost wage benefits within 2 years.
And that puts you on notice that not all claims are the same. Because you file one doesn't mean that you've preserved everything.
Yes, but perhaps it makes it even worse because they're not telling you. You may write, if this is a lost wage claim, that's one thing. My gentleman never lost any wages within 2 years, but they don't mention
it. That's the disability, is it? You're seeking compensation for your inability to work, that is, into wage loss.
But the thing my client is seeking is a permanent partial. He's worked the whole entire time, never missed more than a few days. So he's seeking just benefits for his permanent injury, not for the inability to work. So the commission sends up the following form and says, okay, if you want lost wages, you have to file within 2 years. But they don't mention anything about permanent partial benefits. And so you get that letter, and you've already filled out Part A saying you've protected your rights under the workers' compensation law. What's the claimant to do?
What you've done is you've protected your rights as to a medical award.
That's what
he filed for, isn't it?
Well, no, he just filed Part A. Actually, he did file for he had unpaid medical bills, and he said treatment is ongoing and future surgery is required. He did check those things in Part B when he filed this claim. And so what happened when the commission sent the form to the insurance company, they said, we agree to the entry of a medical award. So the commission just enters
it. Would it be different, though, if on the Part A form there was some indication that he had a permanency? I mean, wouldn't that be a stronger position? Because it seems like the Part A information, as Judge Atlee was asking about, only refers to medical bills.
No, Part A just refers to the basic.
So I'm talking about the things that he's actually filled out, checked, and what
in Part B. Yes, but the instructions with regard to Part B are only if you're requesting a hearing on those issues. And at that point, he had unpaid medical bills and had future surgery contemplated. So he checked those things because the instructions tell you to check those things if you've got if you have those issues and you want the commission to address those issues. But it doesn't tell you that if you don't check these boxes within 2 years or 3 years, you're going to lose all your rights. Again, they followed up with a letter for the lost wages. You've got to file for lost wages within 2 years. But they never followed up with any letter with regard to permanent impairment benefits.
Well, why would they? They weren't aware that there was such a claim.
Well, but the same thing could be said for the lost wages. Why would they tell them to file a lost wage claim within 2 years if they don't know there's any lost wages? Yeah, they're giving instructions to people that lead them to believe that they've protected themselves when they haven't. So this is not a case where they found that there was no evidence of any permanent impairment within 3 years. That's a whole separate issue. The commission, the deputy commissioner and the commission found that this case was barred by the statute of limitations because he didn't make a claim for permanent impairment within 3 years. And it's my position that the filing of Part A preserved his right to make that claim for permanent impairment, and he didn't have to necessarily check the box in Part B in order to get that. And I base that upon the simple language that the commission uses in their forms. It's their form they created. They should be held to it. And he should have been found to have protected his rights under the for permanent impairment. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll come down and greet you as well.